K1 AM 1400 and FM 93.3. Community Connection here this morning. Very excited to have the district attorney here with us, Kevin Buchanan. What's going on this morning? How are you?
Well, I'm good. And you?
I'm doing well. Doing well. This is our first time doing Community Connection this morning. I know you've done it with Charlie for a few times, but hopefully something, I guess, new will come out with this. Maybe a fresh mind, a 23-year-old kid who doesn't really know a lot about the district attorney's office, but knows that I probably shouldn't be visiting you very often.
Well, there are plenty of reasons to visit us without being in trouble.
Fair enough.
So, district attorney's office, first of all, the district refers to the fact that my district covers both Nowata County and Washington County. Mm-hmm. We went to that system many years ago in the 60s, so there's 27 district attorneys around the state of Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. We handle, mostly people think criminal cases. Boy, I don't want to have anything to do with the district attorney's office. But we handle a lot of other things. We handle matters relating to juveniles, whether it's the juvenile criminal system, the juvenile deprived system. So there are a lot of cases that people don't think about. We handle all those. Mental health cases, those come to our door. And again, we truly are the county's law firm. That's when I took office over 6 years ago, I realized I'm really just taking over a small law firm. All of the county officials that come on this program, when they have legal questions, they come to the district attorney's office. It's our job to provide advice to them and representation for the county in civil cases and some matters. So there's a lot we do other than just criminal cases.
I didn't know that, and so that's something at least I learned already this morning as we're just getting started. You mentioned you do kind of Washington County, and you also do Nowata County. You said 27, I believe, is
correct,
the number across the state. Why is it that there's 27? I mean, that seems, I mean, you're spread out over a pretty good sum of land there, as opposed to maybe like every county. Why is it 27 that way?
Right. Well, our neighbor to the north, Kansas, still has the county attorney system, mm-hmm. And so they can have each individual county have a county attorney. In the 60s, it was decided to consolidate some of the counties under one district attorney. Mm-hmm. So we have some counties, as you might imagine, Oklahoma City and Tulsa, they are a county all by themselves. Their population is mm-hmm. large enough to justify that. There's only one county district, that's Muskogee. Mm-hmm. That's one of those political oddities. I'm sure somebody influential managed to get that done. There are some 5-county districts out in western Oklahoma. Again, I think it was basically proposed to do this organization based on population.
Okay.
So we are there are multiple 2-county districts across the state, of which we're one. Osage County next to us is one. Further west, Ponca City and Perry are in a district together. But then you have some enormous districts that I don't know how my brethren managed to handle 5 counties and 5 jails and 5 sets of county commissioners.
I can only imagine. But so you spend a lot of time between both of those, always doing something, right?
Yes. I have full-time staff in Nowata and obviously full-time staff here in Bartlesville. And so there's always somebody there.
All right. So what are you keeping busy with as the district attorney? What are you, I mean, what's your daily, schedule? I'm sure it changes and varies a little bit, but
right. Well, I have 4 attorneys full-time and 1 part-time attorney. Mm-hmm. So my assistant district attorneys handle a lot of the caseload. I handle what I do specifically. It's my choice to do, but so every Monday for my office, I handle the drug court here in Bartlesville. So Mondays are always busy with drug court. I do the mental health cases. And then I kind of, the softball term, kind of I'm on the rover out in the outfield, picking up any emergency that happens to come along the way and answer questions that police officers and sheriff's deputies may call in with legal questions. They're out there on the side of the road somewhere and need information. I'm also very involved in our state organization. I'll be the president of that organization starting in July. So we're very interested in legislation that's going on. Shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. We're very interested in what our budget's going to be here in the next few days. We're hoping to learn how the state's economic situation is going to affect our offices. Mm-hmm. So I do a lot of that. The attorneys on my staff are pretty much handling the 1,000 criminal cases we file a year, working on those every day.
Sounds busy. You mentioned you're trying president. You're going to be president of the association. How did you get involved with that? I guess is the best way to ask that.
Well, when I became district attorney a little over 6 years ago, and I began going to the monthly meetings we have in Oklahoma City, and it became very apparent to me that to keep my district involved was beneficial to my district, to know what's happening monetarily within the system, to make sure that we're funded as best we can be, to become involved in the legislative process with the various laws that people are proposing, how those might affect the criminal justice system, the juvenile system, how it might affect counties and civil matters. I became aware of how important that was to stay involved in all of those processes in order to do the best for Bartlesville and Nowata. And as a part of that, and I have to give credit to Earl Sears, because Earl and I have worked a lot together on various issues, and as a part of that, and frankly the influence that Earl has down there, I became the person to go to in the DA system to try and find out with Earl what's happening and what can we expect. Mm-hmm. So decided that it was time for me to take a leadership role. So I'm looking forward to the next year.
And is that something you had to run for? Or
no, it's a matter of amongst the 27 of us. First of all, you have to express an interest in doing so. And then usually by a consensus, we will agree. And typically we agree and kind of fall into line. There's three offices that you hold. I'm the vice president of the organization and have been since last July. And so we take turns and people step up to the plate.
Well, very cool. And of course, you're stepping up here. Congratulations to you. Adding already a busy plate, adding a little bit more on to it. But I know that our district, as far as the district attorney district, will greatly benefit from it. We're going to take a quick little break. We'll come back. More Community Connection after this.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
All right, we're back. More Community Connection right now. K1AM 1400 FM 93.3 with our district attorney for Washington County and Nowata County. As I have learned this morning, the districts are not set up as far as counties go, but there's 27 districts across the state of Oklahoma. Anyway, talking about justice reform during the break. What's kind of going on with that? I know a lot of terms are thrown around. A lot of people are reading the media and they're listening to the news and probably listening to us and thinking, well, something's going on. I don't know. What did I vote on earlier? Some things seem that they're not happening. Where's money coming from? All that good stuff. What's going on with that?
Well, as I like to call it, we are embarking upon a great social experiment. 780 last year, which has the primary functions of that are to make all drugs, every single drug, no matter what name you want to call it, will forever be a misdemeanor offense if you are caught in possession of that. There seems to be some misconceptions that means even at the school. Mm-hmm. So it will be a misdemeanor at the school. A lot of people seem to think there's still a felony there. Drug distribution, selling, trafficking, those sorts of things are still felonies. But also significantly, because most people deep into an addiction of drugs tend to support their habit by stealing things. So the law 780, as well as other legislative changes, provided for reducing the punishment for much of the theft crimes, raising the dollar limit. So essentially, to sum it up quickly, is you can steal up to $1,000 of things, and it will only be a misdemeanor, and we cannot turn the next one into a felony. And any type of drug that you possess and use and become addicted to, as long as you're only using it or possessing it, it will always be a misdemeanor, which is a dramatic, enormous shift in our criminal justice system. And not all bad, but we didn't just take a step, we leapt off the cliff. And we're going to find out what's at the bottom pretty soon.
And so we're kind of waiting on and seeing on that. Is there a lot that goes in, I guess, with your office and with that change? There's a lot you're, I guess, not necessarily preparing for or planning to do with that?
Well, sure, because the last several years we've pretty consistently filed about 500 felonies a year and roughly the same number of misdemeanors. So if felony possession of methamphetamine, cocaine, I know our community does not understand the extent to which heroin is in our community, but I think probably we'll all come to understand that. We'll see the effects of it. Those would have been felony charges, so those will now become misdemeanor charges. So I think we'll see the number of felony crimes dropping, but I think consequently we're going to see the number of people becoming addicted to those drugs is going to be on the increase. I know we're going to see theft crimes on the increase. So our office, the dockets will change. There'll be more misdemeanors to deal with, and there'll be fewer felonies to deal with. But we're still going to have we're not going to have fewer addicts. We're not going to have fewer things stolen. We're just going to have the caseload will look different. And I think people are going to be surprised. I'm not saying I have magic knowledge, but I just know that if being able to use methamphetamine comes with less consequence, why wouldn't more people try it? Same with heroin, same with cocaine. Some of those people, in the end, because we see how addictive it is, are going to become addicts.
And one thing that I've noticed is I've been going to court a lot in the past few months here for Bartlesville Radio. I've noticed a lot on the public custody listings are a lot of controlled dangerous substances, and a lot of that is a very common thing that is reoccurring day to day. And you think that number is going to go up as opposed to I guess people who are already I believe, and you can totally correct me if I'm wrong because I might not know what I'm talking about here, but I think one of the intents or hopes was that people, if you reduce it, were going to be able to get help easier. But you think that it's going to, they're not necessarily going to get good help as opposed to increasing the volume of usage.
Well, I certainly, but it just makes logic. There's apply logic to it. If I'm a parent with an 18-year-old child and I'm trying to tell them, you know, methamphetamine, cocaine, heroin, those things are highly addictive. They're very dangerous, and it could stop you from going to college. If you're a convicted felon, college may not accept you. You may not be able to get the job you want if you're a convicted felon. But now we tell them, drinking a Budweiser and having methamphetamine or cocaine or heroin in your possession is no different. The law views those as no different now. So if the consequences are reduced, why would that not embolden some people to say, well, why not try it? Most of those 18-year-olds are going to try a beer. But if it's not any more problematic, then why not try it? So I believe we're going to have more people trying these things to see what they're about. If more people try it, just percentage-wise, you're going to have more people become addicted. Treatment, that was the big selling ticket for 780. There is no money for treatment in the state of Oklahoma. In drug court, frequently we have to send people to inpatient treatment. There's a statewide list that you get on to get in line for an open bed. And right now, unless you're a pregnant IV user, you're going to get on the list somewhere in the 800s.
Wow.
And wait for over 800 people ahead of you to find an open bed for treatment. With the budget problems and what we're 5 days away from a deadline on a almost $1 billion shortfall, funding for treatment is not going to be a top priority. 780, as designed, would not provide more money until July of next year, and we don't even know how much. So, yes, the idea was treatment is the appropriate way to deal with addicts, and I don't disagree with that.
Mm-hmm.
But when those addicts, where the district attorney system has a problem is when those addicts time and time and time again don't go to treatment, refuse to get help, and simply want to indulge in their addiction, then we need, DAs, need tools to try and leverage them into taking care of that addiction. And those are the tools that have been taken away. So we won't have tools to make treatment look better than their other options. So we can have people they're going to continue on their way.
A lot of changes coming up in the next few months.
Absolutely. This truly is going to be an experiment.
We're looking at our time. We're going to take a quick another break here, and we'll be back right after this.
Some morning rain showers will then give way to gradually clearing skies heading into the afternoon. Highs will be a little cooler today. We're only getting into the mid-70s, and we're looking for the winds out of the north at 5 to 10.
Hi, this is Rod McElvain, pastor of Grace Community Church. Many verses in Proverbs connect discipleship with financial blessing. Proverbs 15, 5, and 6 is a case in point. A fool despises his father's instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is prudent. In the house of the righteous there is much treasure, but trouble befalls the income of the wicked. You know, in Old Testament times, moms and dads were commanded to be the primary disciple makers of their kids. Parents not only worked with their children in the fields, they provided basic instruction and spiritual growth. Today, we would call this discipleship. And Proverbs 15 shows one very tangible benefit of discipleship. Those who gain wise counsel, that is, receive discipleship, generally do better financially. On the contrary, those who reject wise counsel often encounter financial trouble. So if we bring this proverb into present times, we could paraphrase it this way. People who've been mentored by a wise spiritual guide build the disciplines that cause their finances to grow. In other words, good discipleship leads to good stewardship. You know, managing money requires a lot of self-control, a lot of prudence and generosity. And these are just the qualities that God loves to produce. Good discipleship leads to faithful stewardship. At Grace, we're committed to helping people find fresh ways to manage their finances with this hope. In the house of the righteous, there is much treasure.
All right, we are back here, Community Connection, K1AM 1400 and FM 93.3 with our district attorney, Kevin Buchanan. A lot of things to talk about, a lot of things going on right now. Is there a place that people can necessarily contact you if they want more information? Is a place people can go, you have like a website or a place they can stop by the office and say like they want more information about like these justice reforms, what it means for them, what it means for the community?
True confession,
yeah.
I haven't caught up to the Facebook page yet.
That's all right.
I probably should, and to provide information like this would be good. I don't mind answering questions.
Mm-hmm.
The District Attorney's Council, so DAC, has a website that could provide some answers about the system and things that are going on. But I'll just say, I'm glad to answer questions anytime. As long as we're not standing in court and have a deadline.
I didn't want to put you on the spot like that.
Right. But I think the community is going to become more and more enlightened as to what 780 really meant when we passed that. And I will confess, I will too. I may be wrong on some of what I predict will happen. But the thing that I do know that is a fact and is not questioned is that there is no money for more treatment right now. So we simply don't, we will be reducing the sentences and not imposing the punishments we have in the past, and there will not be treatment to take place of that for at least a year or more. And so it's gonna be, it's a little worrisome in that regard.
Well, as we mentioned before, a lot of change is coming up in the next few months here, and obviously we'll tell then. Hopefully it will work out.
Sure.
But hopefully you won't be too terribly busy, but we know that you're busy now. So
yes.
We appreciate you coming in here on this Friday Community Connection with us.
Thank you.
Congratulations to Judy McCormick of Bartlesville. She is